the undeserved and unending love and peace, a wholeness, a shalom to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom our Lord is calling you. Amen. Our sermon text for today is from our epistle reading, The Very Promises of God, particularly 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, The Very Promises of God, from St. Paul to the church in Corinth, which read, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What am I going to do when I grow up? What is God's will for my life? What is God calling me to be or to do? Well, if you're like me, you've probably asked this question a time or two, maybe even in the last year. What's God's will for my life? What is God calling me to be or to do? We've actually started asking that same question in our Sunday morning Bible studies as we kind of look into what is God's calling for our life as Christians, as His church. And similarly, with the men's Bible breakfast on Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. and the women's Bible study on Wednesdays at 10 a.m., we've looked into this same book, 1 Corinthians, as well, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. And not only that, over the next 5 Sundays after, I'll be preaching from 1 Corinthians as these lessons show up in our readings. So Corinth, a little bit of background. It is a city which sits on an isthmus. It's a small stretch of land between two bodies of water. Now, it's just southwest of Athens in modern-day Greece. And it was a very important trade city, Corinth was. People came in from every port. Philosophy, Greek philosophy, filling the minds of most every people, every person. And prostitution was prevalent. So Corinth's motto could have easily have been, what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. But for Paul, for his letter to the Corinthians, for these Christians in Corinth, and for you and me and for all who are in Christ Jesus, our callings are not in doubt. In fact, Paul gets straight to that in his letter in 1 Corinthians. In verse 1, by saying about himself, Paul, called by the will of God, to be an apostle in Christ Jesus. Paul's basis for his relationship with the Lord, his foundation for his relationship with the Corinthians, is founded in his calling by the will of God to be an apostle in Christ Jesus. Paul's not wondering, what am I going to do with my life? What is God's will for me? How is God calling me? No, he gets straight to it. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle in Christ Jesus. Paul's calling in God is to be an apostle, someone sent out by God in Christ Jesus to the people, particularly in Corinth. God is calling Paul in Christ. And he doesn't wait much longer to help out the Corinthians either, as he writes in verse 2 about their calling straight away. He writes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those in every place who call on the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So if the Corinthians were asking those same questions, if they were wondering what God's will for their life was, or what God has called them to be or to do, Paul clears it up immediately. They are sanctified. That is, they are made holy. And they are saints. That is, they are forgiven sinners. Called together with all Christians, united with them from every place in Jesus Christ their Lord. God is calling the Corinthians in Christ. And what about us? What about us and our questions? With our new studies at college or university, being in a new country after losing a job, or maybe starting a new one, having a new baby, or maybe an ongoing illness, starting retirement. What about us and our questions? Well, for Paul's letter, he gets straight to the fact God gives his grace abundantly to us. And in verse 3, he speaks not only to the Corinthians, but to you and me, and he says something that sounds quite familiar. In fact, if you listen to the beginning of most sermons, it'll probably sound really familiar. He says, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, our calling in Christ is as great as his grace, his undeserved and unending love to you in Christ Jesus. Our calling in Christ is as perfect as his peace, his shalom, his wholeness to you in Jesus. God is calling you in Christ. And it's not some high and lofty, unattainable, unsustainable, and even some mythological goal that we are always striving to but can't quite reach. No, it's as plain as simple water poured over you. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit spoken true. In your baptism, God is calling you in Christ. In Christ, the one who knew no sin, yet became sin for you. In Christ, the one who came to his own people, yet his own people didn't even receive him. In Christ, the one who is innocent, yet is obedient to death, even death on a cross. In Christ, the one who was buried for 3 days, and yet his body did not see decay. In Christ, the one who is now arisen and alive forever. God is calling you in Christ. Isaiah 43 declares, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God is calling you in Christ. And it's as basic as bread and wine, as forgiven sinners like you and me gather around our Lord's altar. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 declares, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim his excellencies, the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." God is calling you in Christ. It may sound like we're saying the same thing week after week after week, but it makes it no less true. God has called you in Christ. You have been baptized, forgiven, made new in his own body and blood in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. God is calling you in Christ. And maybe like me, sometimes you think, that's fantastic. I'm so glad God is calling me in Christ. I have been baptized, I'm forgiven, made new. But what does that mean for my everyday life? What is God actually calling me to do today? Well, thankfully, the answer to that question is a lot easier than it may appear. In fact, just as in baptism, when God puts his name on you and you are called new, forgiven, child of God, your calling in Christ in your everyday life has a lot to do to the other names that you are called. In other words, the names you're called by other people are often your callings in life. It may sound like this: "Dad, let's go out and play." Mom, let's make some dinner. Grandpa, let's get some ice cream. Grandma, let's read a book together. Brother, help me clean up the room. Sister, please stop singing. Son, it's time to go to bed. Daughter, it's time to get up. Uncle, let's go for a bike ride. Aunt, let's play a game together. Honey, please take out the garbage. Teacher, I have a question. Can you help me solve this problem? Doctor, there's something I can't understand quite about my results. Boss, can I have this day off? Coworker, can you help me with this project? Friend, can you go out for a cup of coffee with me? Fellow Christian, can you please listen to me for a moment? Neighbor, can you help me? Lend me a helping hand for just a second. You see, our callings in life are made up of the everyday normal things that we do. Martin Luther calls these callings our vocations. And our vocations, our callings, sound a lot like the names we've been given. Boss, worker, husband, wife, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, brother, sister, son, daughter, uncle, aunt, neighbor, friend, child of God, citizen. God is calling you in Christ. And these callings, our vocations, our everyday things, well, they're pretty normal, average, routine stuff. They're not flashy and exciting. In fact, they can even be quite boring at times. But this makes them no less prevalent and special and honored before our Lord. In fact, it is just as beautiful before our Lord for us to fulfill our vocations and our callings as it is to share with a person, another person, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus who has never before heard of our Lord. In other words, it's just as wonderful for a husband to take out the garbage, for a mother to make dinner, for parents to change the diaper of a baby, for children to obey their parents, for students to listen to their teachers and professors, for you to work as hard as you can at your job, as it is for you to share the good news that Jesus has forgiven your sins. They're just as beautiful before the Lord. In fact, those things before the Lord have great, great honor. Great and special honor. In fact, C.S. Lewis, a writer and author, once described a scene in his book about a scene in heaven where this woman comes riding by on this beautiful, magnificent horse. And as she rides by in heaven, the question is, wow, what did this woman do? She must have been an amazing person, done some incredible things, something that you and I could have never done. And as it's described about her, it said, this woman, she fed her cats and cared for her husband. Those common everyday things we do hold great honor before our Lord. Our normal, average, everyday vocations are beautiful in His sight. They are precious and marvelous. And in fact, it's even in the context of these callings, our vocations, in these places that we have the opportunity to share Jesus with others. On the playground, in the classroom, at the office, around the dinner table, on the highway, around our Lord's altar, God is calling you in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear people of God, called brothers and sisters in Christ, how wonderful it is when our average, normal, everyday activities in life take on such profound meaning. All because God is calling you in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.